Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm so excited. We have a guest in the studio.
I know.
How are you, everybody? This is Sexindipity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman, and
I'm Luann Hernandez.
Let's introduce our lovely guest. Please speak to the mic.
Hello, Limor. Hello, Luann. My name's Christopher. I'm here truck driving from the Northwest, and I had a little bit of free time, so thought I would join you, ladies. How are you this evening?
This is so wonderful. We're so thrilled to have you. This is Chris, a.k.a. the other Chris.
You remember? Oh, right.
So, yeah. So, welcome, the other Chris. And we're very happy to have you because this is a special show. And, of course, in light of Valentine's, though we just celebrated, we're going to have a show about love.
Yes.
Ooh. So the theme tonight is, of course, love.
Love. So sweet. We're both wearing shirts. And
I know. Mine says love.
Yeah, mine's just red.
I guess I just have love for the Seahawks. Right now. Go Seahawks.
Yeah, there we go.
So we have Chris here as the all-American guy. You know, what you might call, I don't know, beer, babes, and ball games. Just balls.
I like that.
I like alliteration.
Yes. Kurt Russell from Big Trouble in Little China.
Exactly. I know, yeah, basically. So, yeah, so, and we invited you, very happy to have you, because we want to have your male perspective as the all-American man about love and relationships and whatever you want to touch in that subject. And, of course, we're going to feel free to just throw whatever you want and tell us how you feel about relationships and love. And yeah, thank you. And, but I want to start and say that and ask you, mm-hmm. my darling, what do you think is so fascinating of humans about love? I mean, we're like, this is such a big thing in our minds and bodies and life, and in general, we're just so fascinated with love. I mean, throughout history.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of those things that you can't quantify. We try to study it. We try to describe it to other people, but until you really experience what it's like to be in love with someone and to have somebody love you, no words, no research, nothing can really even help you get a concept of what it's like when you're laying there in each other's arms, looking at each other, and you're just like, wow. And there's like nothing, you know, there's nothing other than
it's like,
that.
Wow.
It's just like, you're just looking at the person and you're just like, oh my God, there's this other entity that I mean something to.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't have to be a, you know, I look at my dog too and he'll just stare at me like, you're amazing. Like, I mean, if he could speak
so
English,
that's love probably as well.
For him, yeah.
For mammals.
Yeah, exactly.
Mammalian love.
Are guys really any different?
Yeah.
I'm dying to know. Then this is where we're going. And of course, we're going to go back and forth and dissect this whole phenomenon to little shreds. But what do you think, Chris? I mean, what Luann just described in terms of that feeling that.
Well, wonderful. The really odd thing I find about what you're talking about love, I think on your first show you were talking about how women can be promiscuous and are they a slut or are they not a slut? Why is it sexually people? I mean, guys want to go sleep with all the different women they can, or men if they're that way, but they want to have an emotional connection with only one person.
Do they? And we're going to, of course, get into it, but it is a question. I mean, what Luann described, kind of that emotional sensation that you're looking at someone and you feel so, you know, incredible. We can ask people and, of course, you know, try to believe that this is exactly taking place. And indeed, but what do you think? I mean, do you feel that you experienced that sensation with women that you felt you were in love with? Or is there like a specific definition between being in love or loving when it comes to men? Do you think?
Well, I think every person that you think you love starts out as infatuation. It's always nice and something fun to be tried right away. Whether you actually love somebody or not, I think there is somebody that everybody can emotionally connect to.
Yes.
But the problem is, you generally don't end up with that person. I mean, the success rate on that is very, very low. So if
with a person you think you love, you love.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So in that case, I think people usually end up settling for what they can get. And that's where all the problems start out.
Oh. And that, so not necessarily the person that you're aiming for or love.
Right.
Is the one that ends up with you in your life.
That sounds really sad.
That is sad. Yeah, unfortunate. I mean, but do you think that, let's just say, take a scenario that is positive and the most fortunate one.
Okay.
One that the person that you are in love with and you feel, you know, that you want to spend time or your life with is reciprocating and you're actually going into a relationship. Is there a difference, do you think, in terms of the view of a woman, what we described or what Luann described in terms of the infatuation or the love? And the male view of it, is there like a difference, do you think?
I don't think there's a difference in the view. I think there's just a difference in the way it's portrayed, the way it's...
How do you feel? I mean, is it different?
Well, let's face it. I mean, when you talk about actual love, it's almost against the guy code to actually do the public affection and all that, so...
I don't know about that. Depends. I guess it depends on the affection.
The
a little bit of a slap of the ass is all right.
I love that slap you're talking about.
Slap in the ass. Something I'm not used to.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, I know.
Okay, so yeah, keep going.
No, but...
So you think that it's against the guy code?
Well,
to show infatuation.
That's sort of an informal thing, but you can always...
Unspoken.
I think that's why I'm really looking forward to that new movie coming out, That Awkward Moment. I think it's going to deal with that a lot. So, as I do agree with Luann a lot about how you really can't describe how the love's going to feel or how do you know you're in love with someone. I think once you find
out... These butterflies or that sensation.
I think just when you have an unwavering commitment to somebody... When you know that you're going to do something for somebody that would be above and beyond what they would normally ask of you, if you know that you are willing to do anything for this person because they mean something to you, I think that's when you start realizing that this might, it could, you don't even need to be attracted to them. You could just be, there could just be an emotional connection that you like about them, and maybe that's how you start connecting, so...
Okay, well, that's an interesting thing.
And I never thought about all these people who I see who are married and they say, oh, she's the love of my life, or oh, I knew right from the first moment. Bullshit.
Love at first sight.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
do not believe in that one at all.
Ooh. Okay, wow. What did you want to say, Luann?
I was going to say, I heard once that loving somebody is putting their needs before your own.
It's kind of what Chris said,
exactly.
And I agree. And, you know, on that note, it's actually when you look at love, you can kind of equate, you know, the whole idea of love in general when it comes to, you know, a mother's love for her children as well. You know, she wants to and she will do whatever she can for her offspring and that. So the question is romantic love versus other sorts, you know, other different kinds of love. But I want to start with an interesting quote from Simone de Beauvoir that I really, one of the good writers that I can appreciate, not necessarily agree with everything she wrote, and it was back, you know, in the 50s. So, but Simone de Beauvoir said that a woman in love, what she's looking for is that it's not the royal we, but the we makes you feel royal, sort of. I mean, the fact that someone talks about you in a we way, we are doing this, we are a unit. Mm-hmm. That's what women are looking for. I mean, that's, to her, it was kind of the definition of what a woman in love feels or coveting, you know, kind of, this is what I want. I want him to speak about me as if I'm just a part of his soul, a part of his existence.
That you're a partner.
Yeah.
In the true sense of the word, that the two of you are united.
Yes, but in like an inseparable way. Mm-hmm. I mean, completely, that there's a we and everything is done and committed together and there's no separated entity. I think it's beautiful. I think it really kind of resembles a lot of the emotions that women do feel. But the question is, are all women really interested in that kind of, Because it kind of sounds like you have no independence if you are always interested in the we.
Well, I think, you know, there's the I and the we. You know, we kind of talk about when in couples counseling that you can't sacrifice the I at the sake of the for the sake of the we, because then there is no we.
You know?
There's none, because there's not two entities. There's only one. And it gets messy, and then people start feeling resentful, and then
against
their partner, they're able to separate out their own feelings from what's actually going on and be able to see their partner clearly. So it doesn't, like, to me, when I hear that, I hear to have a true partnership, you can't have
just a we.
Yes.
You have to have a me as well.
You have to have it's not really a genuine we. It's kind of a, like, a little sick, dysfunctional thing going on. And you can't have this
imbalance.
Yes.
The entire life. But I want to go back to what Chris mentioned against the guy code. And I do agree that, and I think it's a cultural thing. And that kind of goes back to what we discussed in our first show. And because, you know, studies really examined this whole idea. And researchers went and asked people, especially men, are you in love? The very basic question, are you in love? And what they found was that Pacific Islanders, or all of these regions, most men, almost to the degree of 80%, said, yes, I am in love. But when it came to Europeans or Americans, it went down to almost 15%.
Well, because the spark wears off.
Yes, that's natural.
That's what you were talking about, the experiment marriages some time back. People now jump into these marriages. They jump into relationships. They like the way it starts. It's exciting. But then, again, it just wears off. And that goes into the fact that what you were talking about earlier about women who have multiple partners. Guys are almost praised for doing the same thing, seeing how many women they can bed. I think this is all part of that. Once you get into the relationship and it gets stale.
Conquer.
It's... And we even have websites, I'm not going to give them a plug or anything, but we have websites that go out and help you find other married people.
That is
true.
Yeah,
exactly.
So,
we're doing that at some point.
No. We are inviting you guys, you know who you are, contact us. And of course, we'll be happy to have you. Well, I don't know if promote your purposes, but it is true. But I feel over more than what you said that... The idea of admitting that you are in love as an American, a European man, is kind of different. I mean, it's kind of a commitment, don't you think? I mean...
But isn't that what the women are usually wanting? They want some form of commitment?
Of course.
Yeah.
But as I'm going back to what you mentioned, and I think it's crucial, it's kind of against the guy code, while with a Pacific Islander walking around on the beach with his, you know, top off. He's happy.
Sorry.
And I'm like...
That was like nice tan skin.
Yes, I know. The breeze, you're like imagining it all.
I'm sorry, we were talking about something.
Take a sip of your water.
I need to cool myself down.
Sorry, I just can't picture that right now.
I know. We'll just replace the image for you.
Yeah.
With some bikini girl. Yeah. But in general.
With her top off.
Yeah. You know, with some coconut going on.
There we go.
Done.
Coconut milk.
Containers and all.
Yeah.
But the thing is, really, that for them, it was kind of comfortable to say, yes, I'm in love. I mean, yeah. I feel these emotions to a woman, or I don't know, a few women, whatever, because it doesn't have to be necessarily a monogamous relationship. But in general, yes, I mean, the idea of admitting to being in love is kind of a cultural thing. And it begs the question, what fucked us up so bad in our society?
My first question to clarify the results on that survey, were these people who actually were from the Pacific Islands and still live there? Or were they people who were here that originally came from there?
No, natives that live there. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, the environment, what the researchers actually suggested was that the environment was, or where the way you were raised and where you reside is actually, you know... A big chunk of how you make a decision in your head if you can admit to being in love and if you're comfortable with that feeling.
Well, very simply, our pop culture glorifies this. So, and when you start getting exposed to that at an early age, and especially with the advent of the internet, you have access to everything now. Yeah, you're going to grow up thinking that maybe you shouldn't admit that you love somebody, or that you can go do whatever you want with whoever you want. You can be as nasty as you want. Like I said,
okay, that is very unfortunate and true. But then when you say, and I'm going to Hollywood, to the whole Hollywood thing, I don't want to go there too intensely, but so if you look at Hollywood and what the message is, everything is so romantic, you know, a lot of romantic movies and everything, but by the same token, you're exposed to these, you know, messages that, no, you shouldn't admit that you're in love. So what is the right message? I mean, and how do you really make a decision?
It seems like it's a lot. I mean, to me, the way I see it, and a lot of the people that do have a difficult time admitting that they're in love or really allowing themselves to fall in love in general, it just seems like a huge insecurity that there is.
With a specific person, the individual.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think in our society, we breed, unfortunately, a lot of people who are insecure with a lot of these images of what beauty should be like, or what, you know, life should be like in mm-hmm. some way, or what love should be like, or what marriage should be like. You know, we create a lot of these shoulds.
Guilty.
Huh?
Guilty.
But it's, you know, it's true. We create a lot of these shoulds, and our society really pushes them on people that unless it's this cookie cutter way, then you're failing.
Yeah.
And that it's not right. And so we create this, you know, society that's very insecure with who they are and not free to be you and me.
And then we come up for, I think to build on that, when something doesn't work out, we come up with any reason at all to blame this or that about mm-hmm. why it didn't work. And then that just compounds a problem.
Oh, definitely. So. Definitely. And I want to talk about love schemas, as they call them. But I want to start with something that we're always, as society and in general as human beings, I think, are fascinated with, which is love at first sight. Does it exist? How does it go? What really determines if we do fall in love at first sight? And I'm going to go over, you know, the scientific part of it. But what do you guys think? I mean, is that really a thing? I mean, does that exist?
It's so funny. Like, I never really thought on anything like that.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just infatuation. And it's true. I think that it is just infatuation. Love at first sight is like genuine infatuation. But then at the same time, the first time I drove up and I saw Brett standing out there on his phone, I was like, oh, wow. Like,
getting a little excited here.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh. And then, you know, he met me at my car and we kind of walked from there. We had our first date and it was pretty much from that first date, we were both like, I'm done with everybody else.
Really? But,
But you had to go through that first date. The first time that I saw the person who I care a lot about, there wasn't doves flying around her, and it wasn't like a nice big cathedral where I first saw her or anything.
Or the sound of God.
Right. Okay, well, you guys,
in the background.
I was like, whoa, that did not really happen. Like, like all this craziness. It was just a little like, oh.
Right, but it took me, you know, I don't remember what we did the first day. I think we just went out to an Applebee's on base and, you know, started talking to each other, find out we're from the same area. We have a lot of common interests. And that is what it built up over a period of time, say about 12 hours.
That's a long time.
Yes.
In one day? That's a long day.
Yes, I know.
But still, you know,
we were told we were not allowed to fraternize or anything. It was a military, so.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, the rules are different.
Very different.
But again, it's all about, I think it's about not love at first sight. It's first about capturing your interest. Mm-hmm. And I have an anecdote for this, like you were talking about earlier, a few previous shows ago, about female fantasies.
Right.
Ooh.
And,
ooh.
You know, I reconnected with somebody on Facebook about, I don't know, a month or two before that show aired. And this is someone I had only seen three times in my life.
Okay.
We worked together in boot camp where they make you wash dishes or whatever for a week. We met one other time when she was stationed on an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And I saw her at a food court. That was it. I was like, hi, are you this person?
That's so romantic.
No, it's not romantic. She was already with some other guy. And she was already married.
Oh, my God. All the facts are so right.
Everything
is correct.
Well, this gets better. So apparently she has an old flip phone. she does not know. She refuses to upgrade it, and she didn't even know she had a message from me for like 4 months.
Okay.
On Facebook.
That's a while.
You know,
yeah.
I'm like, are you this person? You know, I want to make sure. There's no pictures of her, just like some zoo pictures for her profile pic. I don't know.
Zoo pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So I get back to her and I say, yes, it's you. Finally, after 4 months, she writes back. Within that day, as I was going in and out through reception, driving the truck, and we're doing a text battle, I would say within 4 hours.
Yeah.
We're practically having phone sex.
Okay.
Now, I have never done this before, but it came down to...
Phone sex.
Want some tips later?
Well, it came down to, all right, you know, what kind of things do you like? And right away, she says, well, I like to be choked, like to be handcuffed, like to be blindfolded. And right
you
she
just
said,
meant, what food would you like to eat?
You're all, oh...
I'm thinking, I don't want to end up on Cops.
Special episode.
Exactly. So I was like, but this whole thing, I mean, I wasn't really into it. I've never tried phone sex or text sex, if they call it that now.
Yeah, sexting.
Sexting, okay. Yes.
Oh, okay. There's a term. Please be accurate.
Come on, I'm an expert.
I know, exactly. I was like, come on.
I'm sorry. So, but yeah, the interest was there. Certainly wasn't love at first sight.
Right.
But
no,
this warranted investigation.
No, definitely. But what you're kind of depicting there is very different. I mean, here's what I think. I think that the idea of people falling into a lustful adventure mm-hmm. is by far more common. And people will also admit to it more easily. Then the whole idea, and I haven't, you know, kind of, I didn't come to a conclusion whether it is, in fact happening, whether there is love at first sight, and researchers are also kind of debating about that. But it's very different from the whole idea of getting sexual or getting mm-hmm. aroused, or just because I think that the era of internet and everything that we're exposed to, everybody worldwide, it's much easier to just get aroused or excited or just play a game of sex. That's by far easier. Mm-hmm. But love is still kind of a sensitive term that we are not necessarily comfortable in dealing with it. And David Buss, one of the biggest, you know, evolutionary psychologists that, again, some of his theories I agree with and many I don't, but he actually went and examined, and he said that when it comes to love at first sight, and I'm going to talk about especially the female side, but of course you're free to give us the male side, and he said that actually at love it, when it comes to love at first sight, all senses are integrated into it, all five senses. And he really kind of detailed what it entails. I mean, a woman falling in love, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what is she looking for when it comes to this celebration of the senses? So, yeah. So the first one, of course, would be sight, you know, what you may refer to as
physical attraction,
as eye candy. Mm-hmm. Yes. So yeah. So what do you think, you guys, both of you, women would consider something that is attractive and may, you know, lead to love at first sight when it comes to the sight part, when it comes to this sense, to the visual sense?
The hotness factor, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, so what, someone that looks in a specific way or has a specific feature? Does he have to have, I don't know, full head of hair?
Like, well, I think, you know, it's like the same thing. It varies from person to person.
There's not,
you know,
something that is more common?
I don't think
common?
There's, I feel like there's probably maybe you know, if we're going to go with a biological type of thing, a nice mix of the very masculine, like kind of, structural features, but also
with
the...
So he needs to look like an Adonis kind of thing.
It needs to, well, wouldn't we all like
woo-hoo!
That? I know. But like the very, you know, how we talked about, I don't remember when.
We talk about something.
Yeah. But like the very like linear, angular type of features, but also, when I think about it, there's also a little bit of softness. Like men that are very... very masculine looking are very attractive.
But?
And yet it's not one of the types of things that I think love at first sight. It's more like, you know, fuck at first sight, but not like love at first sight. There has to be a little bit of...
something that will refine it.
Yeah,
that's
like a little gentleness
to.
Maybe. Okay. That's what I would think when I think about love at first sight.
Okay. What do you think, Chris?
Well, to begin with, to expound on what you said, it sounds like what you said, the fuck at first sight tangent on that. Yeah, you're not going to have a love at first sight because you also have to investigate this person further to see if you really are going to love them. You can't tell anybody by looking at them.
Right.
You're just going to be attracted to them.
Yeah.
And that's what I do with women anyway. I mean, of course I find lots of attractive women. Do I ever get to talk to them? No. I have a lot of selling to do here.
But so I accept both your opinions about it, and I agree. The thing is, what the researchers found is that the main feature that women kind of emphasized on when it came to love at first sight, you know, on the visual part, was tall men. That men that were tall were considered a good catch, or were considered something that is very attractive and may lead, if you integrate all the other senses, which we'll get to, may lead to love at first sight or love eventually.
So they're like, all right, it's not the way his facial features work out. It's not how like much he works out. It's
works
it's not
out that was like, a part of it.
Is he tall?
He has to be tall, yes. And they went and examined why, you know, the significance of his size, of his, you know, belt as well was also a V-shape. And I'm getting a little hot here.
Yeah, I know. It was like, so, tell me more about this V.
Yes.
But you're telling me I'm going to need to start concentrating my search on the Land of Oz, right?
But seriously, like, when you
and
when
the
it
smile.
Comes to the V and the V.
sorry. I'm also
I know. You're
smile.
Like, you're going.
I know.
But yeah,
like,
the big men. So they actually went and checked. Why is that significance about his size? I mean, the way that he's built and the fact that he's tall. And they found that in these tribal societies, big men, what you may call people that have, you know, presence and that were taller than others, were actually, you know, in hunter-gathering societies, were actually were more commanding of respect, that they kind of looked like they can't be overtaken by other men. And that was a big, you know, a big significance when it came to how attractive they were. This is what women...
because it means you provide security.
Right. And also, you know, yeah, it provides security and it makes you feel...
I don't think that's
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think that's only in tribal societies. I mean, men who are taller make more money.
Of course. You know, this is why I'm saying that, you know, I'm like...
What's going on? You're batting it around right now. I don't know.
So are they going to start putting your height on credit reports?
Should. I mean, geez.
True.
They could probably, I wonder, you know, that would be an interesting study to tell someone's height based on their credit report.
I'm going to go to Bank of America and apply for a credit card. I am 5'7", yes or no?
So, yeah, it is true that men that are taller are at least, you know, statistically are making more money and, you know, are
moving up.
Getting more respect out of, you know, both men and women in society, which is very interesting. And a part of that research kind of brought a funny, funny picture that I had to bring.
Well,
it's not a picture that I'm going to put into
words. Oh, you're
going to
paint it. Okay. I was like, oh, you're going to paint it. I was like, do you have a picture? I want to see a picture.
No.
Oh, sorry. We're talking about very attractive men. And I'm like, pictures?
Later. I have to. No, because we're not going to get through the show if I start showing pictures.
I know. If you start showing pictures, then we're done.
Yeah.
Don't look at me, honey.
The Sharnauha Indians of Peru, the women there have actually, they prefer men who are big and, you know, in terms of size and tall and everything, because it explains that there's a big possibility and chance that they're going to bring meat back home.
Sorry.
So, I'm not done. Yeah. So a successful hunt, you know, is like an expression of virility, that they're actually, you know, good enough to eat and they can bring meat. And so it's a currency of manhood and sex, honestly, you know. So, and there's a saying with these women, these Indians of Peru, that if a man comes back from their hunt,
No food.
Not accompanied by meat, Forget, you know, they're not looking for berries and shit, you know? Yeah.
They're like, you bring me some nice, yes, juicy meat.
Exactly.
That I can enjoy tonight.
That I can sink my teeth into.
Whoa, that wasn't, no.
There's a saying, of course it's translated, but there's a saying that if they don't bring that meat, the women would say, and I have to quote it, "There is no meat, let us eat penises.
Oh, Jesus.
So that's just the depiction.
They're like, if you can't provide, there's no reason for you to be here.
No, please go and, you know, leave your penis behind. So
which also
like
probably
that.
Makes a lot of sense why men who lose their jobs also lose their erection.
Yes, and their partner.
Yes, no, it's true.
It is true. It is true. And we'll get to the Darwinian part of what money, you know, represents to women. But what do you think? I mean, that's like so funny. So the whole
it's
idea of you know, tall men.
Well, so, first off, that's what my ex-wife said when I left. She said, "Leave your cock."
You see?
Yeah, oh.
You see? Was she an Indian from Peru?
No.
So honestly, yeah. So that is very funny and entertaining. Mm-hmm. But then I want to go to the second sense.
Oh,
the sense,
oh, right.
Of smell.
Sorry.
Yeah, are you still stuck with the tall men?
I'm like still thinking about...
Of the V-shape.
Yes. I'm like,
how does the V-shape apply to my V?
I know, exactly. I'm like, let's connect Vs.
I know. You put your V in my V. Uh-huh. Okay, so the sense of smell.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think, and I'm going to go through what studies say, but what do you think? I mean, is that a really significant part of attraction and falling in love?
Oh, yeah. In addition to the pheromones and the compatibility of that, I think that the smell of a you know, like there's men who like you smell and you're like, ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Like their muskiness of their sweat, it just smells so like, it's not even gross. It's just like, it's kind of erotic. And,
oh, it is indeed erotic.
Yeah. And not to mention the, like, I mean, the sweat, you know, in the crotch area right around the little dick area. Well, the dick area. I mean, there's like a certain scent that it has that it just smells so good and it's so attractive. And, you know, you leave and you like are sniffing their shirts after. Oh, it's really weird.
Or wearing their shirts.
Or wearing their shirts just so you have their scent on you.
Right. Or smelling their scent on a pillow or on, you know, bedding.
In your hair.
In your hair, all but, over. I mean, yeah. You can really, what do you think? I mean, did you have women sniffing you around?
No, I cannot say that I have. And I've never had a woman ride my face as, like, you know, an aftershave application.
Let me just guess.
I'm a...
I never gone into work and had some guy go, is that pussy?
Is that pussy I'm smelling?
Like, you smell very good today.
Juicy pussy. Yeah.
We can bottle that stuff.
For me, if it comes down to sweat, I think if you see a girl who looks attractive and is athletic, then yet the visual aspect of sweat kind of heightens the attraction. I don't know anything about the smell, but, you know, I've lived overseas where people don't use clothes dryers. They hang dry and you get that mildew water smell. And they all think it's perfectly okay.
Yeah.
No, go.
Mildew is always bad. Oh, that's one of the things. I've smelled so many people, and it's like once I smell the mildew, I'm like, nope, I don't care how cute you are. You smell like mold.
Yeah.
You're done.
So, again, so what you are both saying. And
you're just smelling that mushroom growing.
I know. I'm like, that is not right.
Okay, so what you're both saying, and I agree with, is that on one hand, it can be such a big part of attraction. Mm-hmm. On the other, a big, big part of turnoff. I mean, if someone, and I don't want to go into the whole scientific, it's too a little heavy, you know, the whole idea, but women really said that if someone doesn't initially, even when you just brush against them, smells like someone that is attractive or that you want to, like, stay around, you will not only that you're not going to go into this relationship, but it's not going to last, even if you did. Mm-hmm. I mean, initially you can go to have lunch and he can sit on the other side of the table and his smell is not something that arouses you. You're probably not going to see him again.
Yeah.
But the difference is,
go ahead.
No, the difference is, you were talking about natural smell.
Oh, yeah.
If I smell a natural smell, I generally don't like it. I want to smell some sort of artificial thing, a perfume, soap, whatever, so I know they're clean. You really want to get me wild? Just put on something that smells like pizza.
Let me smell
the whiskey.
Yeah. Let me rub some whiskey.
I know.
You cannot get an Irish guy any better.
A little scotch. Hold on. Instead of, I'm going to change all my perfume bottles. Just put it in bacon and like.
Yeah, you just cover yourself. Go into your fridge and be done with it.
Exactly. Although I did hear that men do like the smell of warm baked cookies. Like if a woman smells like cookies.
Yes.
Yeah. It means that she's going to run a good house. Yeah,
I spend a lot of money and I'm going to lose my man card for this. I spend a lot of money at Bath & Body Works buying cookie flavored candles.
You see?
Yeah, see, if I walked around smelling like a baked good, I'd.
That's right.
You'd be like,
Mrs.
Whoa.
Fields.
Whoa.
I know. Yes. But seriously, so it could be a turn on, a turn off, and it's actually not anything new. And, you know, even as we said, you know, in the animal kingdom, people, you know, all the animals are using the sense of smell. Of course, it's a big thing. But even, you know, in ancient societies, women tended to, which I find such a beautiful, you know, thing to do. And I actually carry one right now. Women used to carry these little sackets in their vaginas. And
to carry the vaginal secretions.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, whip it in front
of. They're all like, oh, shoot, he's coming.
Let me just throw it on his head. No, but they would actually carry them around and then have their man, the you know, prospective man.
They're like, this smell. Is what it smells like.
Yeah, you know, here is my gift to you.
You want to open a business, dear? There's some money to be made on that.
I know.
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, juice, instead of Juicy Couture.
I know. It's exactly Juicy Couture. It's exactly what it is. We just didn't understand what it meant initially. But again, not only women would do that, but men in these areas, the Balkans and Greece and all these areas would, you know, during festivals would carry little handkerchiefs under their armpit. And then, you know, just whiff it in front of the women. Seriously. And that should be
like
something.
Them?
Yeah. Okay.
Can you imagine if we did that now?
It's like Pavlov's dog.
I know.
You know, carry them around.
I'm just envisioning some guy at a strip club with this little handkerchief down in front of his pants. You know, get a little bit of pre-cum on there. Waving that around.
Well, pre-cum does have a very nice scent. Well,
the pre-cum.
No, all cum does. I think it has a very nice scent to me. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. It does depend on you know, what you consume.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of other factors.
Yeah,
but right. So we kind of agree about that the sense of smell is a really big thing in terms of attraction and possibly love and this whole idea. And then, of course, the third thing that they kind of related to as one of the most important components was sound. The sound of the sense of sound. Yeah.
The voice.
So what do you think? Is that like more important, less important?
To me, it's interesting. Like, you can definitely tell on the phone. Like, I find that I'm attracted lately to men who have a little bit of a higher tone of voice, higher pitched voice than in the past, where I would go for these men who have very deep voices.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, like I said.
I noticed your voice dropped when you said that, too.
I know.
That is a good noticing.
Yeah. And it's, so, I think, it. You know, when I said,
how do
fuck
you
at
explain
first sight.
It? How do you explain it that now you find yourself more attracted to men that have a higher pitch?
I think I'm looking for something different.
Because you're looking for someone for a long-term relationship, he should have a higher pitch.
Well, I think that they do naturally.
Okay.
People, well, you know how they have the idea that there are certain voles that have different alleles in their little biology makeup.
Yeah.
And some of them will are promiscuous and it doesn't matter. And some of them are more prone to commitment and sticking with one little vole. So they're like the little husband voles. Like, and then there's the like guys who like the little voles that are like fucking all the other little ones. Right. And then...
I'm ending up with all the fucking here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep going.
Sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying, like, I think that there is a biological difference in men that are more prone to commit and then
so
there
they
are...
they should have a higher pitched voice? The ones
I think
that
it
are
might, actually. I think
committal?
It might. Maybe. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out myself, but I think maybe there is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they also said that men who have... what was the study I read? That... men with larger testicles were less likely to participate in household chores.
Well, because they have a lot to carry and stuff.
Yeah, come on.
They have enough in there. They're like, I did enough.
I know. I'm like, what am I going to do with all this?
What's going on down
so
here?
So what if you carried a baby for 9 months? That was only 9 months.
Yeah. Look at what I have to deal with every day.
I have to deal with it, two of them.
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe the deep voice thing is just maybe...
It's
a reinforcement of the
protective, of manhood?
No, of the ability for to provide security.
Well, it's associated with testosterone too.
Yeah, I do, and studies show that women in general, for both long-term and short-term relationships, had the tendency to appreciate. And it's interesting what you said, because you kind of evaluated that your preference kind of changed and altered.
Mm-hmm. It's really weird.
Which is, no, but it makes sense, you know, in a way. But women did prefer kind of Pavarotti's over Capotti's, you know? Like, it wasn't like that that attractive to them to have someone with a higher pitched mm-hmm. voice. And even, again, going to tribal societies, in Tanzania, for instance, the hunters there, the researchers found that the men that had lower pitched voice had more offspring. Mm-hmm. And that kind of probably predicts that they have more sex with more fertile women mm-hmm. because, you know, of their, what they have, their deep voice or something that represents manhood.
Or maybe they're just getting laid more.
Yeah, but because they have the opportunity to get laid
right,
more.
Yeah. Right.
And the more women want to have sex with them.
Well, I think, you know, lower voices are associated with testosterone, and even men are attracted to, like, they like the sound of a low, sultry voice.
Not true.
It comes to sex.
Well, not necessarily.
When it comes to initiating.
From women?
Because
I think that actually men prefer the sound
prefer
of a little
the higher.
Girl. Yeah.
They prefer the higher pitched voices when they're talking.
I think
normally,
Jennifer Tilly's voice is sexy.
But when they're, yeah, but when, what... When I was reading this study, it said that as men get closer to initiating sex, like the lower a woman's voice drops, like they start becoming a little bit more aroused.
Maybe, and maybe as a, it makes sense, and maybe as a cue mm-hmm. for her, you know.
That's exactly what it is.
I am ready for you.
Exactly.
Because okay, yes.
It's a sign of testosterone, it's like a testosterone-led
type
of thing.
Yeah, with my voice, drop my panties.
Exactly.
It's like both drop at
like,
once.
I like that analogy.
I know. It's like my voice drops and my panties drop and everything just
and
drops.
Everything's ready to go.
Yes. Just come
and
at
my
it.
Inhibitions drop as well.
They weren't there to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so in terms of sound, women did prefer men that sounded more manly and kind of, you know, and they didn't even really kind of analyze it down to the idea of testosterone, but rather just, you know, found it more attractive. This is how they said to relate to it. Now they came to the idea, to the sense of taste.
How do we taste them?
How do you taste somebody?
How do you taste somebody if you just see them from afar?
Well,
it goes into smelling
them.
Again.
You lick them just
you lick the air.
I know. Think about serpents.
Yeah, do you have a Gene Simmons tongue?
No.
Yeah, oh my God. I think not. the taste, the sense of taste was actually interesting because, of course, we're talking about love at first sight, and then, you know, on the surface, it could be just looking at someone, but it entails a kiss. Okay. So let's go to the how significant and how important is a good kisser. I mean, is that something that we're going to integrate into? Can I fall in love with that person? Is that important? If he's a good kisser or a bad kisser? Because there are a lot of bad kissers.
There are. And I always feel like they attack my face. I'm like, my face.
I know. It's like, I'm like covered in something. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what do you think? I mean.
I'll let you go first this time.
Yeah.
I talk a lot.
Do men value a good kisser in a woman?
Okay, you need to understand that my sexual resume is not very extensive. So therefore, if someone's willing to kiss me, I'm down.
But did you find yourself like saying to yourself, "Oh, she's a good kisser," or "No, Well, there's some work to be done there.
I think the only thing I found was that there were some who were so protected throughout their lives that they would just, they wouldn't kiss because they didn't really, they were almost ashamed of what they were doing. Maybe they were like ultra Christian or
inhibited.
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So that affects their ability to give into it.
It only heightened my awareness that, hey, I got to make this person feel a little more comfortable.
Okay.
I don't know if, for me, kissing doesn't really have any kind of impact on attraction or love. It's going to be everything else that happened prior to that.
Okay. That's interesting. And I believe that it's maybe the male perspective of it, not only specifically yours. But what do you think?
We are hoping for a lot more than a kiss. So that's why we're not judging.
Of course. We all are. Let me tell you.
But yeah,
it doesn't end there. Yeah, you're a good kisser. Okay. Let's just kiss.
Oh, okay, that's awesome. Let's just stay here and hold hands and kiss. Yeah.
Yes. So what do you think? I mean, is that like an indication of if he's a good kisser, we're going to have good sex? Or if he's a good kisser, I can fall in love with him?
I mean, I think when I've had bad kisses, that's usually the end of it.
So it is an indication.
Yeah, it is. And it's because there's only so much that you can do, in my mind. Like, how do you, like, most of my bad kisses have occurred on the dance floor in a drunken stupor.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Or where they're drunker than I am. Or in places where, you know, it's just like, I'm just going to make out with somebody, whatever. But you actually remember
the kiss?
Well, because I wasn't in that bunch of a drunken stupor, clearly. Clearly, I had needed more. Clearly, I needed a lot more.
Okay.
But most of the people that I've actually, like, enjoyed their company, I've had enjoyable kisses with. But I think it's also a connection type of a thing, too. If I don't enjoy someone's company, I'm all...
Right, but...
Don't kiss me.
But you're talking about taste here, and as far as a kiss goes, if it tastes like Listerine, I'm fine. If it tastes like sauerkraut, get the fuck out of here.
That is true. Okay.
Tasting.
But I find, and I agree with both of you, but I do find that the ability to be a good kisser, I think it's something that is workable. Also,
oh, no, it is. It totally is. Yes. It's just I'm not invested.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah.
But there are people that... I kind of feel that in terms of the female view of it, and let me know how you feel if I'm correct. If someone doesn't part your upper lips in a way that makes you, you know, quiver, mm-hmm. then he's never getting to the bottom one. Kind of, you know, yeah. In a way, and the scientific explanation of it is that the tongue is actually kind of, well, close to the most erogenous, you know, upper zone in a woman's, you know, functionality. And the papilla, you know, these little things mm-hmm. on your tongue can actually recognize, you know, if this person is good enough to make you happy and make you satisfied. And
by happy and satisfied, we mean able to make you orgasm.
Yeah. Yeah. And keep you, you know, satisfied sexually and physically. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about, you know, bringing the meat. Bring in the meat.
Sorry,
also.
Every time I kiss somebody, they usually bring the meat. It's always like, thank you. That's what I needed. I didn't know that you had a penis. Thank you for pressing against my stomach. Thank you.
What is that there?
I know. It's like, do you have a flashlight in your pocket?
Yeah, I know. I'm just happy to see me.
It's a pack of Rolos. Come on.
I know. But in tantric traditions, you know, it's looked at as the contact of upper gates. That's how they call it. Upper gates. You know, if someone kisses you well, it means that you have a connection that can really, you know, grow into, I don't know, maybe love, maybe infatuation.
Sex play
also, but something like even more...
Emotional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That the idea of a kiss is so important and so imperative, you know, in the whole game of love.
No, it is. It's very intimate.
And I agree. I mean, I've had, you know, on occasion, you know, a bad kiss. And even if I, like, against my intuition, decided to take this man to bed, it was usually a really bad deal.
You're all, damn it.
I knew it from the beginning. I have to get out of here. I know. Yeah. So.
No pressure about your first kiss, people. Just to let you know.
I know.
Just let me know where I can get implants for those bumps you're talking about.
I know. Exactly.
I know. And the last sense was the sense of touch. So, yeah. I mean, the sense of touch. What do you think? I mean, how important is it that someone touches you in a way? And I'm not talking about your genitals yet, okay? I'm not going for vagina, penis. Later on. But, you know, we just met at the bus station. I'm not taking, you know, sending my hand down your pants. But if a man and a woman meet, what's the significance of the way, and how would a woman, for instance, and I want to hear your perspective of how would a man would want to be touched, but how would a woman want to be touched in order to feel that, oh, this partner might be someone that I can fall in love with?
Gently.
Okay.
Tenderly. I think there's, I mean, I think there's the firm kind of like, sorry, I'm going to touch
Go
you
for
now.
It.
Okay. I'm like, is it okay if I touch you?
Actually, I'm getting radiation right now. You can't touch me.
Just want to make sure there's some consensual touching here.
I know. Yeah, go for it.
But like, you know, if a man touches me like, very firmly, kind of like forcefully, you kind of know that, you know, you get an idea that this person's going to be a little bit more forceful. If a person touches me a little gently like that, I think that feels a lot nicer. It means it's a little bit more tender.
So the preference is for a lighter
for me,
touch?
I don't think a lot of women want that, like,
the lighter
gentle caress.
Touch.
Sorry. Now I just, you let me. It's like a vampire.
I know. You allowed me in. So, yeah, deal with it.
Yeah.
But
hey, explain that to your boyfriend.
Brett.
Brett.
So you think.
Do not call in.
I know. Brett is like the operating system is going crazy. I know. But the thing is, so you think most women would prefer a forceful touch?
I think a firm touch. Like a...
That will indicate that he can throw me against the wall and take me.
Or protect you.
Or protect me and bring me the meat.
Bring, yes.
Hmm. Yes.
I want to be brought some meat.
Okay.
I actually like the gentler touch because when it's almost like the woman is at that point letting you know that there's going to be... You have that space barrier that they talk about in psychology, mm-hmm. how you don't want to be around somebody. If someone is willing to touch you gently like that, it's kind of like they're letting their guard down, even though they're making the move.
Yeah.
They are now letting you know that, hey, we can be a little bit closer now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
When you do get a light touch like that, I think it's pretty, I don't want to say arousing, but it's definitely very welcomed in my life anyway.
A soft touch.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A soft touch. A woman's hand.
Yeah.
It's inviting. It's welcome.
Well, no, there's a song about the soft touch.
I know, with a little sacket of the vagina.
Well, we have a new product.
I know. We're working on it, people. You know, invest in us. But women, what women said that they were interested in, the kind of touch that they found attractive and a kind of indication of potential love and lust, was actually very interesting to me, because women said that a man that would brush against your hair or remove a stray hair from your face.
Oh my gosh.
Is a man.
Why do they do that all the time?
Is a man that you want. And the other part of it, and I found it, and I'll explain exactly why. The other part of the study showed that women prefer men that massage their feet. So that kind of touch. What was interesting to me is that what it signified is that women are seeking, that's my analysis of it, of some sort of a touch from head to toe, because it started.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, with like touching my hair and then touching my feet, is that like a man of my dreams? Which I find very interesting. I mean, is that what a woman is looking for? And most women admitted that a man that would either kind of touch them gently around the head or on the feet.
Well, let's face it. If the woman's been at work all day, those feet are funky. And if you want to touch those feet, that's going to require some commitment on the guy's part. So
it's true.
So you agree.
It's true.
So you agree.
I cannot understand those toe suckers. No.
That's very odd to me. No, I don't like it.
No. I know. I know. So, so I do find that all the senses are significant when it comes mm-hmm. to infatuation and falling in love. We have so many other things to talk about. I mean, yes. like we really. I feel that just 5 minutes passed by.
Oh my God. That was so fast.
I know.
And should have me here more often.
I know. We should. And we have so many. There are all the love schemes that we wanted to talk about. We didn't even touch them. And hopefully we'll just do another show in regards to love. And Chris, you're very welcome to come and join us next time.
Thank you. Have a good time.
Thank you. And thank you so much for coming and being with us.
Seriously. Thank you.
Thank you, my darling.
Thank you. Well, thank you for our listeners, and you can download us on iTunes.
Be sure to download on iTunes, because yes. otherwise we're not loving you. We're not giving you any love.
You want a little bit more love? You want to invest in our juicy pussy?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a juicy pussy call it? Vagina.
I think so.
Juicy cooch. Even better. Done.
done.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, my darling, thanks so much, Chris. And I'm Dr. Limor Blockman.
And I'm Luann Hernandez.
Bye.
Bye-bye.